Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. Hey, it is the middle of October, and, you know, we've been a little bit heavy on the wrestling part of the podcast, but my co-host Donnie said, hey, we need to get some more haunt people, horror people on here. So we reached out to some of the people that we know, and we've got Amanda Revenge on the phone with us right now. Amanda is a haunter who has been, what can we say about Amanda? Everybody knows Amanda. Amanda, how the heck are you?
I'm awesome right now. I'm traveling around, visiting a bunch of haunted houses. We just did Fright Kingdom in Nashua, New Hampshire this past weekend, and before that we were at Legends of Fear in Connecticut, and this week on Thursday we're heading to Midnight Terror, and then after that a Massacre Haunted House, so all in Illinois. So it's been kind of crazy. I had to limit my 32 characters down to like 4, and it was a really hard thing to choose. I was like, I don't know who to bring. Who do I bring? I just kind of grabbed what I could.
You know, I've been following you this season, and you, like you just said, I didn't have to say it, you've been all over the place this season.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy trying to pack and get ready for this trip too. I was very much like, I was like, hey, how am I gonna fit everything in one bag? Let's just fly Southwest. That'd be easier. So that's what we did. And you know it's haunt season when you have more haunted house costumes than you do real clothes.
Right.
So that's what you can kind of tell.
Okay, I was going to say, everybody that's in the haunt business knows your name, and if they don't, they should.
Thank you.
A lot of people I know you. You and I, we've known each other for the better part of close to 10 years now.
Yeah, it's coming up, I think, on 10 years, because it'll be, this season is my 12th year in the haunted house industry, so I think like my second year is when I started going to conventions, so that sounds about right.
Yeah, and we met first at MHC, and then you came to Dent when I was working there, and we worked together, and
yeah,
you lose track of time.
Yeah, you know, I try to befriend as many haunters as I can too. Along the way, and I've been very, very, very fortunate to, know as many people as I do and become friends with people, because before haunted houses, I was like that weird kid who didn't have any friends. I was like, and now I'm kind of like, hey, I have like friends in I think almost every state besides like Alaska. Like, I mean, like, somebody from Alaska, if you're listening, befriend me so I can, like, say I'm friends with somebody from Alaska. It's like Pokemon. I gotta catch them all, Just kidding.
So, with that being said, for those of the listeners out there, and, there might be some listeners on the wrestling side, because wrestling and horror kind of go hand in hand. How did you get your start in haunting, Amanda?
So I got my start in haunting actually kind of through theater in a way, because before haunted houses, I was involved in a bunch of theater and productions, and I kind of called it the theater curse, because for anyone who works in theater, you never get the lead right away. You kind of have to work up in theater groups and communities. So every time I got up to the lead role, the theater production company would shut down. It happened like 3 times before I just gave up. I was like, I'm done with this. But I had to work up to get those spots. So I started in theater, and I really love theater. And I was like, I need to do this for a living. what's like a great job that I can get doing like theater type stuff for a living or for fun or a first job. So I started looking into haunted houses, and truth be told, I was terrified of haunted houses. Like, I had not stepped foot in one. I had not gone to one. What happened was, back when I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, I was dressed up as little Princess Jasmine from Aladdin. And I was like walking around and having my Halloween fun. And this guy jumped out at me in the middle of a driveway, and like it turned me off for haunted houses for like years of my life. Like years and years and years. Like, he scared me so bad. I jumped so high, I landed in my aunt's arms, and I cried like the rest of the night. Needless to say, I did not go through haunted house. I was like, looking back on it now, I'm like, man, that guy's a dick. Like, you know, I'm like, man, like, that's why I always say too to other people, like, hey, don't scare children if they come through the haunt, become friends with them. Because you might turn them off for haunted houses for years and years of their life until they finally work in one, coincidentally. So I started looking around into haunts, and I almost went to one haunt. And then on the day of my interview, I was told that they wouldn't be opening. So I was fortunate enough to find Nightmare New England in Litchfield, New Hampshire, which was kind of on a big fun park for kids and adults. Like, they had go-karts, batting cages, mini golf, all that stuff. So I kept calling them and calling them until they would give me an interview. So I got an interview with them the day before they ever opened ever. So that's how I kind of got started into haunting. And like, nobody told me what to do or anything. Like, I wasn't given a handbook because I was so like last minute. So when they walked me through the house, I had my eyes shut the entire time. The entire time. I had no idea, like, the house was, what was in front of me, what was behind me. Like, I don't even know what to do. I never said boo, but my first group, I did swear at them on accident.
Oops.
they actually came around the corner and scared me, so I was like, fuck.
Oops.
So, little 16-year-old me heard them say, are they allowed to swear at you? And, I definitely was like, probably not, but they didn't tell me anything, but I didn't do that on purpose either. But from there, you know, I developed my main character that is still, like, super iconic, unfortunately, but fortunately to this day. And the only reason why I say unfortunately is because I have 32 characters under my belt, but everybody wants to see Demonia, my main character, and wants her at their attraction, so I often have to bring her out again and again and again. I'm like, hey guys, I do have like 32 other really good ones. But I've been playing her since 2008, and it's been like very, very interesting over the years to see her looks and how she goes up and down. Because sometimes, right, like, she has, like, different outfits. Like, I call her my Barbie character because, like, she has a raincoat and she has a funeral dress. I'm like, you're just like Barbie. So it's been really fun playing her all these years. But that's how I got started in haunted houses. So, yeah, it's been pretty magical. And I love it. I wouldn't change my life for anything.
Cool. Yeah, you say you got 32 characters. I've been haunting for a couple years, and I have one. How do you come up with all your characters? Do they just like pop into your mind, or how does that work for you?
So, Nightmare New England had 4 haunted houses, and so they had Buried Alive, which is where I started. And Buried Alive, it was basically zombies and dead people type of vibe. You came back out. There weren't like really zombies, but it was like in the ground, dead people type of. It's like a cross between a zombie and a ghost. is a Zos. So you had them, and then you had a zombie area, which was Raven's Claw, which is their cemetery. And then you had a 3D freak show, which was all clowns. And then you had an asylum house, which was at the time called Sleepstalkers. So I really, really, really wanted to be on their midway, which was you could walk around throughout the entire park. So, like, you could walk in, like, the driveways, go back on the driving range where a couple of the other haunts was, go through any of the houses. And that's, like, what I was striving to be on. Especially after I got put in a queue line my third day in. Because what had happened was the four haunts used to have to go through Buried Alive, Raven's Claw, 3D Freak Show, and then Sleepstalkers in that order. So they weren't expecting the line to be super long. So the line for Buried Alive got so long one day that it was touching the other end of the park. Like, people were coming out of Sleepstalkers running into the Buried Alive line.
Nice.
And it was like a 3-hour wait. So the crowd had started rioting, so they took me and this other kid whose nickname was Sparky. So they took me and Sparky and threw us out in the queue line and was like, good luck. I was like, okay, thanks. But after I got that queue line bug, I was like, all right, I need to walk around this whole park and be on the midway. So I started developing characters for all the attractions and that could fit any way in the park. So that's how I kind of started with it. And then I realized, wait, you can go outside of the box and develop even more characters. So I have stuff, like I have my troll, her name is Legend. She's probably my most unique character, I would say. She's like a cave troll. Nice. She has like armor and fur and stuff. I actually entered her in Miss Scary Midwest, I think in 2013 that was. So she is probably my most unique character, but I have everything from like a couple of clowns. I play like three various types of clowns. And then I play, and no, not vaping clowns. I don't believe in that. Don't believe in the vaping clowns. They can do what they want to do. It's just not my thing. But, yeah, so I have three various types of clowns, like a hobo clown, and then I have a more traditional clown. And then I have my little girl character, Patient 292. I have a vampire character. So I just started trying to come up with these characters that could fit in any haunted house in the country.
Nice.
Even, like, that's how, what I kind of aim for. So if I figured out somewhere now, I have various characters that will fit anywhere I go.
Right, and I'm sure that like all your characters have a backstory and everything to work off of. And how hard or easy is it for you to get into the mindset of your character? Like when you decide which one you're going to be that night, is it just like the flip of a switch because you know their backstory, or how does that work?
Yes. So all my characters have a very, very detailed backstory, and some actually have rotating backstories. So what that means is stuff that happened to that character the previous year comes into the new backstory. So they're always changing. So like bits of their costume will change, they'll age, they'll mature, they'll start talking different, they'll say different things. So for example, Lilaby the clown, I haven't played in a couple of years because she went through a breakup and is actually in the middle of transforming into a different costume. So when I come back out with her, MHC, when I come with her, she'll have a little bit of a different look to her and a different attitude to her specifically. So she's kind of a rotating character like that. But then I have Demonia, who basically has the same backstory no matter what. And backstories will help me with my lines and stuff too. But getting into those characters can sometimes be really tricky, especially if, like, I'm missing, like, a part of the costume or I don't have it. Like, I'm like, oh, man, like, I'm not this person now. But what I do is every single one of my characters have a character playlist that I create on, like, Spotify and Pandora, like, YouTube and stuff like that, where they have, like, a, like 20 songs that that character would listen to. Specifically. So some of these characters like have like their playlist is all full of like just like static and like weird noises. Legend, for example, has in her playlist. So I'll listen to those before I go out. And then usually like the last song is like something very significant before I take the stage, so to speak. So it's kind of, I get into these rituals and habits to make myself be in those characters. And I'm not going to lie to anyone. Like, sometimes other characters want to come out and play at the wrong moment. It's always like Lillaby or Demonia who wants to come out and play when the other one is out. Like, I don't know what it is about those two characters, but in character, I have to tell that other character to go back in the box in front of other people. So customers will be watching me and then like another character will come out and then I'll like look like around and be like, it's not your turn, get back in the box. And like then what the hell, this girl is crazy.
You know, so,
it gets really funny when I do that because it's just like, I never stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of weird. It's fun.
You know, Lillaby's always been one of my favorite characters that you do.
Yes, Lillaby is so fun.
Lillaby's worked with the Dean before. Some of your characters have inspired things. Such as Jerry Vane's Black Moon Asylum, Patient 292, inspired part of that album.
Yes, Patient 292, and that was super amazing. He has like a Patient 292 song in that album, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And it's like that blew my mind when he asked me if he could do that. I was super, super grateful. And the song is really awesome. If anyone hasn't heard it yet that's listening, definitely go check that album out because it's a very great album. And that song, my totally biased opinion, is so awesome. that character, funny enough, actually kind of came about because I was kind of sitting there and I was like cleaning up on the build staff at Nightmare New England. And I just started talking to myself while I was like raking leaves, like a crazy person. And so I just started saying like Patient 292 will always be good. And like, I was like raking and then like haunters who worked there, like walked by and they were like, what the hell? And so that's kind of how that character came about. And I was like, oh, this would make a great, like, Q-line character. So I started developing that whole backstory and basically that character just from being on the grounds of the haunted house, trying to come up with something out of my head and just talking to myself, which sounds weird, but it's kind of like a process I was going through. Trying to rake up leaves and being really bored raking. But that's how she came about. But she's probably one of my most intense characters, besides Demonia. Like, she crawls on the ground and stuff, and she'll accuse people of stealing her medicine, and she just goes all out.
Well, you know, I think the inspiration that you gave Jerry also steered him in a slightly different direction because, you know, Black Moon Asylum isn't like all of his other albums.
Yeah.
It is much more unique and more gothic I mean, there's still some elements of the haunt rocker, but he's really turned it up a notch. And, you know, I think you had a hand in that.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I hope I did. You know, he was probably like, oh, Amanda is spooky. Let's make this album spooky. because me as a person, right, I dress like it's Halloween 24/7.
Right.
There's a day that goes by that I'm not wearing Halloween socks. Fun fact. I just picked up two more today. It's bad. I have an addiction.
No, not you.
No, me never. But yeah, there's that album is very, very, it's cool because it's like goth industrial, old school Halloween. It's like a very awesome combination of all these different elements that he brings out in that album. There's like a little bit of like old world London, and it's a very good album. When he sent it to me in the mail, I was lucky enough to get it, like one of the first copies. And like, I probably listened to it like 45 times, like in a day. So yeah, that was super cool. And you know, Jerry is awesome at music in general. Like, I always love listening to his stuff when I'm getting ready. So it was really cool listening to Patient 292's song as Patient 292. That was kind of like, what? Like, I didn't ever think that was like in the realm of possibility. Because me as a person, like, I don't think, like, I always am super hard on myself. I'm like, I can always do better. I can push myself to do more, go big or go home type of person. So I'm always challenging myself in those ways.
Okay. So we're going to segue a little bit. Let's talk about Amanda Revenge Haunting. I mean, I know you're out there and you're an actor trainer amongst other things. Let's talk a little bit about that business.
Yeah. So, Amanda Revenge Haunting, you know, I do acting, I guest act at various haunted houses. But what people don't know, is I also do build, set design, scenic painting. My build skills go more into the scenic painting and set design aspect. I do some drilling, but I'm more of like, I help somebody drill things in and saw and whatever that they need. But I can go and design like a whole haunt, scares and everything. And I'll go in and paint, and we'll talk about lighting and sound design. And then I also, on top of that, I do makeup, costuming, and then makeup classes and character creation for iconic characters and haunted attractions. And then on top of that, I do escape rooms. So I'm kind of like a Jill of all trades. I want to get my hands in everything and try to like make wherever I go leave a lasting good impression.
Well, you are definitely multi-talented. I will give you much credit and much props for that, because you are just all over this business. It's hard. I'm hard pressed to not see your name someplace in some aspect of haunting.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, like starting out, like I would have if you told me 12 years ago that I would be traveling a bunch of places doing haunted house acting and training like actors and really big name attractions, I would have never believed you ever in my life. But what really started my love of traveling and getting more into the business was in 2012, I think it was. I went to Dream Reaper's haunted house in Chicago, Illinois. It was in Melrose Park, because they had their Christmas event, and it was really the first Christmas event that I knew of, or I think that anybody really knew of in the haunted house industry. And I went to go through, and I brought my stuff with me, like just in case. I was like, oh, maybe I can like find a way to talk to the owners and see if they'll let me hunt with them. And then they spotted me in the queue line, and all of a sudden I was guest acting. Like, I just went to go through, like, I didn't even have to do anything. They just saw me in the queue line. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, how do you know who I am, first of all? That's kind of, that's weird. And they're like, oh, we see you at MHC. I was like, oh, okay.
And you're like, I just so happen to have something in the trunk of my car.
Yeah. 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 Something brought my stuff with me, but it's back at the hotel right now. So the very first night they put me in like their sewer scene, in a rat sewer costume, and working right next to me. And this is how I met her, was Stephanie Giamasco, who went on to do Face Off.
Right.
Nice.
So I got to hunt with her, which was super, super awesome. We clicked right away. It was like hunt magic. So that was probably what like pushed me to really pursue this as a career. It's a very hard industry too, I won't lie. There's a lot of ins and outs you have to figure out when you're trying to make this your life.
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
Yeah. I think we all are. Even people who have like attractions are like, how do I make this my life? Like, it just never ends. But there's also just so much to the industry. Like there's, you can do the technology side and the props, or you could do, actor training, or you could guest act, or you could own your own attraction or do escape rooms. So that's kind of why I started learning everything there was, so that no matter what, or no matter where I went, I always had a place somewhere doing something.
Very smart.
So, yeah, that's my main. Oh, and I booth babe at World.
Yep.
That's another thing I do. So people hire me out to get in their costumes all day at Trans World. So, like last year was Macabre Intentions. I got the pleasure of working with Joe. He's super awesome. So I got to model his apocalyptic costumes that were basically all sold out, like, by the first day. They go.
Right on. So before we wrap this up, we're going to give you a chance to plug your various ventures. But what I wanted to tell you is next year, if you're ever interested in coming around the Ohio or Indianapolis area, Mall would be thrilled to have you for a weekend. I'll take care of your hotel.
Awesome.
And pay you a few bucks.
Awesome, for sure.
So you are more than welcome to do that if you're in the area. But with that being said, why don't you plug your various ventures and ways people can find out about you and Amanda Revenge Haunting and everything that you offer?
Yeah. So right now, my various adventures, you can find me on www.AmandaRevengeHaunting, and that's revenge with two E's in the front, REEVENGE, haunting.com. You can find me there. That displays all my services and stuff like that for Amanda Revenge Haunting, so my escape room to my haunt acting, essentially. And then you can also find me on Facebook, same name, Amanda Revenge Haunting. And then to get in touch with me, the easiest way is just send me a Facebook message. And I usually respond to those pretty quickly if I'm not super busy on that end. So that's how you can get a hold of me. I travel everywhere, so I'm pretty easygoing. And I really, really love Halloween haunted houses and escape rooms. So that's kind of where my passion lies.
And if you had one piece of advice for somebody just starting in this business, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, I gotta think about this for a second. There's like, it's like I should just write a book of like, if you had one one sentence to give, like here, just like one sentence is. I think my best advice
that I could probably give anyone starting is don't give up. And I say this because not every haunted house is going to be right for you. Not every person is going to click. You're not going to get it right away, maybe, or maybe you will. But it's really important that you just don't give up. And no matter what, if you are passionate about it, and if this is what you want to do, keep going and just put in all the work and effort that you can and meet as many friends and talk to as many people as you can, ask as much advice as you can, and just don't give up. I think that's my best advice I can give someone.
That's very sage advice from a young lady who's been doing this for quite a while. Donnie, Donnie, do you have anything for Amanda?
Just probably the question she's been asked a million times. What's your favorite horror movie or horror character?
Ooh, actually, you know what? Nobody ever asks me that.
Oh, nice.
As normally, do those contacts hurt when you put them in your eyes?
Yeah, right.
My favorite horror movie is Dead Alive by Peter Jackson.
Okay.
I love that movie. If anyone hasn't seen it, watch it. And I think this is the guy that made The Lord of the Rings. It's great. Or watch Meet the Feebles and then think that. I promise you, you will have a great laugh.
Nice.
Have you guys seen Meet the Feebles? Totally off topic, but has anyone seen that?
I can't say that I have.
Nope.
Oh my God. Meet the Feebles is like raunchy Muppets. Nice. It's like made by Peter Jackson, and it's like raunchy Muppets with machine guns. It's so funny. It's like a horror movie. Yeah, definitely watch Meet the Feebles. It's very interesting. My favorite horror character is, there's a lot of them. I think my favorite type of horror character, I would say, because I can't really choose one, but my favorite type of horror character is like the very like realism ones where it's like this could happen. So like serial killers or just like there was a movie with like that just recently came out, and it's like a crazy like older lady who like invited this girl in but like used a purse bait and switch on her and stuff. I forgot the name of the movie, but it's like, oh man, that could happen. Oh, it was like Greta.
Uh-huh.
And that was really interesting. I really like those type of movies, like foreign films and stuff like that. Those types of characters are just really, really intriguing to me, because it could happen.
Nice.
But then I also like Pinhead from Hellraiser. So.
Right. I say I'm a slasher like, guy myself.
Yeah. It's either like one way or the other. Like there's no in between with me. I'm like, I either really love this or I really love this. Annabelle, not so much. Like that's like the one thing I don't like is like the Annabelle series.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I don't know why.
Have you watched the Banana Splits movie yet?
I don't think so.
Do you know what the Banana Splits are?
Nope, I don't. Okay. Can't say I do. Is it good?
Well, I'll give you a brief history. The Banana Splits used to be a Saturday morning variety show back when I was a kid in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a horror movie out of it.
That's awesome.
They're kind of like the Muppets, weren't they? Sort of something like that?
Kind of like that, but they were, you know, full-sized characters. And I watched it last night. My wife wasn't too thrilled with it, but it got kind of gruesome, and it was on Sci-Fi. I mean, without giving it away, one guy got cut in half.
Oh, that's awesome.
in a magician type box thing. And it was, at the beginning, it brought me back to the 70s. And then watching these characters go on a murderous rampage was interesting, to say the least.
That's awesome. Is that like the bananas and pajamas people? Is that what those were?
It's a little different.
But, that's what I'm like thinking in my head. I'm like, oh man, that'd be terrifying, kind of.
If you look up the Banana Splits movie, you can read a synopsis of it, and I've seen far worse movies, but I've seen better movies.
Like the one that you guys stayed at our house.
Oh man, that film was just that. I don't remember what the name of that was.
I don't either.
But it was. Amanda, it was cheerleaders, our volleyball players, and inbred hillbillies, and it was just wrong.
Oh, man, that sounds just wrong. Not too long ago, my friend does this thing called Weirdo Wednesdays, where they play movies for free, but the only catch is, like, you don't know what movie you're walking into. Right. So he had, like, Cheerleaders from Hell. And it was just like the weird, like it was like satanic cheerleading cult hillbilly. I was like, what? This hurts my brain. I was like, pick a genre, please. it was like from the '70s. I was like, oh my goodness. So that was an interesting movie that I saw not too long ago. It was very much all over the board. Ooh, I got a good question for you both. Taking a poll, what's the your favorite character that you've seen me play besides Lilithy and besides Demonia? I know, I just took two big players off the map.
I would go with your hobo clown.
Dusty.
Yeah.
Dusty's a good one.
Yeah, I like Dusty. Didn't remember her name, but I can see her in my mind's eye.
Yeah, she's fun.
Donnie?
I would say you did a clown where she's got like long orange hair, like dreadlocked hair.
That's Willoughby.
Oh, okay. So I can't use her then. But I think I've only seen her in Demonia in action, to be honest.
yeah, probably. Out of those two, would it be Demonia or Willoughby?
I would probably say Willoughby. I think I like her better.
Yeah, Lilithy is fun. I haven't played her since I think 2016. Because I've been trying to update her costume again. Like she's going through some big backstory changes. So the things that I have planned for her are gonna be really epic if I can pull them off. You know. Other than that, I'm just gonna try to play costume roulette and pick five things from a bucket and see who I'm gonna be. I do that every season. I make a character on a Sunday night to challenge myself and mix things up a little bit. But they don't go into my 32 character roster unless they're really good, which I think that's only happened like once.
See, I like Lilla B because we've worked together.
Right. Yes, that's true. That's true. She is such a fun character too.
Well, there's some little bit of freedom in there. I mean, when you're playing a character like that, it's not as constrained as some other characters can be.
Right. Yeah. Lilithy is also like a jerk too. So I made that character specifically to deal with the Massachusetts crowds at Nightmare New England. So the drunk math holes.
Right.
Because Nightmare New England had like probably still the worst crowds I've ever seen to this day. The worst. They were so drunk, so obnoxious, belligerent, like everybody wanted to fist fight you. So I had to make all my characters like ready to combat like those type of people.
Right.
In fact, when I went to Texas for the first time and guest acted there at Dark Hour Haunted House, because I was on their original build crew, and after that, like, I was there for, like, their opening night or their test run night, so I guest acted there, and I scared somebody and they thanked me and I had no comeback for that. Like, I still don't, to this day, I still think about, like, what would I have said? Like, it's still like that. This was in 2013 and this still haunts me to this day. Like, what do I say to this? Like, you just thanked me? What? Did I hear you right? Are you sure? Like, what do you guys have a good comeback for that? Because I still don't. I'm like, you're welcome.
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah. There's really not much you can say.
Right.
thank you. I don't know what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the only time I've ever been truly stumped in character. I was like, you're welcome. Maybe. Thank you. Okay.
Like, all right. I've got one last question for you, Amanda.
Yes.
Do you watch pro wrestling?
You know, I don't watch pro wrestling, but I do have a couple of haunted house friends that are wrestlers.
Okay. Anybody?
But
we
I've
might
heard,
know?
I know who the Undertaker is, and I know who John Cena is, and I know who. There's like another one too.
The Rock.
Yeah, I know who The Rock is. And I've seen like some of their stage performances in passing.
Okay.
So I think their art is very cool on what they do because it's kind of like haunting in a way. So I'm glad you guys are doing this podcast because you're still putting on a performance. You're still acting out a character with their backstories, and then you're doing like stunt work, and there's still danger involved. Because there's still some sort of danger involved in haunts because you just never know what customer you're going to run into. Like, you could be headbutted. Like,
that's the answer I was looking for, really. Because in a lot of cases, haunting and wrestling are kind of, if you go to a haunt convention, you're going to find, or a horror convention, you're going to find wrestlers there.
Yes. Yep.
And wrestling, you know, and it's, like, for example, our latest show, which went up today, has a wrestler that works for a company called Impact, and he shared with us a story where he and another wrestler got thrown out of a haunt for being too belligerent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he thought, and it was funny. It was a funny story. He says they've been thrown out like three times.
Damn!
But they love to go to haunts.
They must have been really belligerent to get thrown out that many times, though. Like, normally, it takes so much to get thrown out of a haunted house. I mean, at least in New England, it does. Like, it really does take a lot. So they must have been pushing their limits.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty intimidating-looking guy.
Yeah, he's 6'8".
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the other wrestler he's with is, like, what, 5'9", 5'10"?
Yeah, Sammy.
Yeah.
But he did admit that if he gets scared the right way, he does scream like a little girl.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know what? I would. That's like the type of person who I aim for. Like, a lot of people will aim for, like, you know, the already scared people. I aim for the big tough football player or like the girl's boyfriend or whatever. You know, I aim for like the people who don't look like they can be scared, and 9 out of 10 times I get them.
Yep.
This past weekend, I had a football player on the floor crawling away from me screaming. So that was a fun one. But there you go.
Yep.
I just sent you a picture of that wrestler on Facebook.
Awesome.
And he makes me look short.
Oh, man, he is tall. He does make you look short. Yeah, I would totally aim for him, though. I was like, I'm going to scare you somehow.
And he would probably scream like a girl.
Good. You know, I should get, like, send him to a haunt I'm working at, and then get me a GoPro, I'll strap in for the show, you know, send footage, be like, I scared this big wrestler.
We'll have to tell Sawyer we done set him up and Amanda's out to get him.
Yeah. Just come to MHC at a haunt that I'm working at. We'll scare you.
Well, also, like, if you didn't know, Donnie is actually the owner of a wrestling promotion.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Called New Ohio Wrestling, and mm-hmm. I am one of his ring announcers.
That's awesome. So, you guys, how do you guys do haunting and wrestling like in October? Like, do you have to put one on the back burner?
Usually when we had the trail the last 2 years during haunt season, we would basically like not run wrestling shows. So we would kind of skip like August, September, October. And then pick back up in November. But crazy. So that's how we normally, but normally there was like all through the summer, because we were out there in the woods, you know, for 2 summers straight, just building nonstop. So I was kind of doing both like at the same time.
Yeah. Yep. I totally expected you to be like, I didn't sleep for like 3 years.
Yeah. It was pretty much like that. I didn't get much rest.
Yep. Nope. Nope, you got a lot of unrest.
especially. Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially in the, like, both industries are very, very demanding.
Yep.
A
lot of planning.
I don't know if you've seen it, but on any of my Facebook, but I have a stepdaughter.
Yeah.
Who actually I'm going to adopt soon and make her my daughter.
That's awesome.
But she's actually training to be a professional wrestler.
That's awesome.
Matter of fact, Chris went to go pick her up from training. She gets off training in about 3 minutes.
That's awesome. Man, cannot wait to see that.
I'm hoping for it. I can't wait for her to be on TV somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's going to be so cool to see, too. Yeah. You're going to be like, hey, I know her.
Yeah. And she is so gung-ho for it. She's got a lot of bruises. She just started training last week. And she showed me some of her bruises, and she says, I'm not giving up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. See, don't give up. See, there's my advice. Uh-huh. It's come full circle.
That's right. So anyway, we're not gonna keep any longer. The clock on the wall, as Drew likes to say, is winding down.
Yes, it definitely. It's like I see my friend Warren, who owns Third Degree of Terror, keeps like looking in. He's like, "Hey, yeah, we're here helping him build out his haunt before we leave to Chicago." So it's like my schedule is like so busy. I'm not going to sleep now.
Right. Warren's my brother from another mother.
Yeah, you guys look very similar. I can definitely see the family, unfamily resemblance.
So,
I'll have to tell him you guys said hi.
Yes, please do. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on to Wrestle Horror and talking about something other than wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much.
We've done a lot of that, and I really hope that people that are listening out there will check you out, and I'm sure there's some haunters that are wrestling fans that are going to go, hey, I don't know about Amanda Revenge. I need to check out more about her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. You know, and if you hate any part of this podcast, you know, you are in the Twilight Zone. This never happened.
Right.
I'm just kidding. They wouldn't hate any part of this podcast because this podcast is awesome.
There we go. We got the Amanda Revenge seal of approval.
There you go.
Yep. Stamped, sealed, put in the mail.
Amanda, once again, thank you so much for being a part of Wrestle Horror. Good luck with the rest of the season. Tell Warren I said hi, and knock it out of the park until you stop haunting this season.
Yep. I definitely will. I probably won't ever stop haunting this season. It's going to extend into December.
Okay.
So thank you guys for having me on, though. It was super awesome. Super awesome getting to talk to two haunters and tell my story.
Oh, sure. We'd love to have you back on.
Yep.
Yeah, anytime, you know.
I will let you know when this goes on the air.
Yes, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Amanda Revenge Haunting, for all your haunting needs, check her out. She's worth it. She's one of the best in the business. And that comes from Meat Hook Jim himself. So peace out, Amanda. Tell Alex we said
peace
hi.
Out, y'all. I will. I'll tell him.
And we will talk to you soon.
See you later.
I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good season.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.